Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome to the 1871 podcast, and we're bringing you a special bonus episode tonight with a focus on mental health. And a heads up for you that on tomorrow night's episode, we'll be bringing you an update on the latest Reading FC news and also a look ahead to next season in League One. And that episode is available from 8:45 p.m. tomorrow. And then we'll be bringing you a bonus episode with our reaction to Reading's new manager announcement as soon as it happens. And we are led to believe that it will be Chris Wilder. And we think the announcement will happen this coming week. We don't know, but we think it could be as early as tomorrow. And then that's it for Series 2 of the 1871 podcast. So those next two episodes after tonight will be our last two episodes of Series 2. So, Johnny, I'm going to hand over to you to introduce our episodes, introduce our guests even for tonight's episode. So over to you, Johnny.
Cheers. Evening, everyone. Yeah, so this is a bit of a special about mental health. We could have had a lot more guests on because there's so many people that have been affected, as fans, players, people. But tonight, it's a starting off to sort of, get the conversation going around mental health, making a difference and sort of breaking the stigma as people. So I will introduce my merry crew, some I know very well and not so well, and small faces. And so it'd be rude not to start off with ladies first. Car, good evening. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. You good?
Yeah, good, good. So tell us a bit about yourself in case, well, we all know you, but others don't.
Right, so I still haven't had a actual definitive diagnosis, but I may have schizophrenia and bipolar, or I may have schizoaffective disorder, which is elements of both illnesses, but rolled together in one easier to manage illness, apparently. But whatever, I'm still here. I'm still kicking ass. Yeah, I'm still shouting.
Still supporting Reading.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next on the firing line, Lee. Welcome again, mate. How are you?
Very well, Johnny. Much appreciated to have me on here. It does mean a hell of a lot.
And tell us about how you support Fulham.
Oh, sorry, mate. Sorry. I'm a bit slow to this. Big Fulham fan, huge Fulham fan, as Johnny will know. Spent many a nights walking from Fulham to Reading countless times, and airing our differences and who's rubbish and who's good. And we always battle it out who's rubbish, but we always seem to come out that Fulham are. But I'm always outnumbered, but it is the way it is. Many moves ago, I really struggled with my mental health and really hit a low point. I was taken into a psychiatric unit. And many moves ago, I wanted to do a walk from Fulham to Reading. I saw it on the map. It was only this far. So I thought, do you know what? I'm going to do it. It can't be that hard. So I went looking for charities, found a charity called Calm, got in touch with them and started reading the website, and the facts were unbelievable. So I kind of spoke to my mates and I was like, boys, like, is anybody feeling like this? Because I'm feeling like I'm alone. And they all were talking about it, and it kind of spurred me on to do the walk. I was going to do it on my own, but then a mate of mine joined me. It was great, and the feeling after was sensational. It's better than anything I've ever done in my life. That first walk was unbelievable. It still gives me just pure immense pleasure just thinking about it. And people started coming up to me, talking to me about their own problems, and I thought, we've got to kick on with this. And then phoned up BBC 5606, and that's where a little reprobate called Johnny got in touch with me, and that's the history. That was 8-9 years ago now.
Oh, something like that, isn't it? Yeah.
It's been a hell of a long time, and we've still been plodding on over the years, doing more and more. It's just really tiring at the moment. It's hugely tiring, but it's all good. We're going good.
Good. Thank you, mate. And now next on to one of our walking colleagues, Dean Hooper, ex Peterborough, Aldershot, a few other teams. How are you, Dean? Good to see you.
All good. Thank you very much. Absolute pleasure to join you guys. And obviously, I know Lee and Johnny. And obviously, sorry, sir, I didn't know you. I don't think we met. But yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to be amongst you. My own personal story, it's out there, really. It's been documented many times. I started my own, I don't like the word mental health, to be honest with you, but my own mental health, I will use it. Journey, probably when I was 19, I got locked in the mental health institute, padded cell. I had an LSD tablet that sent me a bit wild. I'm actually currently fighting that diagnosis and the whole episode that's, well, basically all my life, really. It's so much gone on, I can't really speak about that, to be honest, at the moment. And we haven't got enough time. So just a pleasure to be here, Lee. It's lovely to see you again, sir. It really is. And I've got enough respect for you, what you did. And hopefully we can kick on. I just done one recently on my own, from Peterborough to Cambridge for cancer research.
Wow.
Tough. So, yeah, I've got immense respect for Johnny as well. And everybody that suffered along the way, regardless of diagnosis, regardless of circumstances, for people to come out and actually talk about their problems is a huge thing. So thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to be here at the moment.
Cheers, Dean. And next on the firing line, Tom, good evening. How are you? How's your dinner?
Yeah, it's cooking. Hi, guys. It's a pleasure to be here to talk about what you're all talking about. Personally, on a foot front, I haven't really kind of suffered with mental health as such, but I have suffered with feeling alone, maybe feeling like there's no one there because of my sexuality, and, you know, fighting it and not knowing which way to turn as such. Who to talk to, who to be around, who to tell, that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I haven't got the stories that, you know, I come late in such that it is not nice being alone and not feeling like you're a part of anything, or do you know what I mean? It's,
yeah,
it is hard. It's, and there is times when I do struggle still, you know, even at the age of 35, you know, I've been out and proud since I was 16, but you know, there's times when you hear when I'm a doorman and I'm on the doors in Reading Town Centre and someone says some really nasty things and say things like, I don't know, you faggot or something like that. And you stand there and you kind of think to yourself, well, as you know, even now it still affects me to a point. You know, I don't let it get too overbearing, but it still does in your mind affect who you are as a person, I think.
It does. Mark, I'm gonna come over to you now. As interviewing my host, co-host,
well,
Yeah, we're swapping roles because Johnny, I wasn't feeling too great last week, so Johnny kindly stepped in and hosted two episodes last week, two really good episodes. You know, Scott Davis came out and spoke about his own mental health challenges that he went through. And we often mention Brian McDermott, his story, and Scott and Brian know each other very well. So we're swapping roles tonight. So Johnny's kind of the host, although I did do the introduction, and I'm a guest tonight. And I think my situation is probably quite common. So I've suffered from anxiety and low mood. My mum has for many years suffered from bipolar disorder. And I've had times when I've felt, you know, very down and probably irrational thoughts. But a lot of my kind of problems have been worrying about things that have happened in the past, regretting things that have happened in the past, worrying about the future. And I'll sort of come on to that a bit later. But I think it's really important to mention, Johnny, that whenever you hear the phrase mental health, and Dean kind of alluded to this earlier, it just conjures up negative implications for people. I think people automatically think of it in negative terms. And I think it's important to say that everyone has their physical health and everyone has their mental health. So everyone has physical health, everyone has mental health. Some people have good physical health, some people have bad physical health, some people are kind of generally okay, but they might have a few kind of minor physical issues. And it's the same with mental health. So it's exactly the same, and the two affect each other. And obviously, through my own experience of how counselling and all that sort of thing, I've done some research. The two things affect each other. So if your mental health is suffering, your physical health can suffer, and vice versa. So I think my dad summed it up really well, that he said, if someone has a broken leg, you can see it, you know exactly what the issue is. But if you're struggling with mental health challenges, people can't see it, and a lot of the time they don't understand it.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big challenge, and it's part of the reason why we're doing this tonight, I think, really. So and another thing I would say is, and I had a chat with Brian McDermott recently, and he said to me that people like myself, Brian, you, Johnny, we're unusual because we're quite open about it. A lot of people, you will look at them and assume they're okay, but it might be that they're struggling and they're just not talking about it. So that's part of why we're doing this episode, to, you know, encourage people to open up, because you're not, you know, like Tom said, their feelings of being alone. You're not alone. A lot of people, and I think my situation is probably fairly common. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling anxious, you know, you're definitely not alone. There are a lot of other people. So, that's why I'm a guest this time, Johnny.
Yeah, no. Thank you, Mark. That's definitely. So honest, mate. Appreciate it. I think before we come on to our last guest, who's probably younger by about 30 years than the rest of us, I'll just give you a quick, people probably know my story anyway, but just to kind of sum it up. I've been a nurse for 30 years. Most of that time I've been going through an eating disorder, bipolar, depression, anxiety, ups and downs and roundabouts, and, you know, but having this conversation now with 8 people, some we know, some we don't, how easy was that conversation to have between us all? That's what it's about, having those conversations without being judged, without any fear or any sort of stigma around it. And, you know, for me, it means the world to be able to do this as a group of really great people. Hopefully this could lead to somewhere else and some more, and keep going and keep building and keep making those connections. But I just wanted to point, my friend Connor's waiting in the sidelines there, and I'm going to bring him in now. Unfortunately, like me, he lives over here in Ireland and supports Reading and Bray Wanderers, so that's enough of an issue to start off with. But evening, Connor, how are you?
Hi everyone, how are we?
Hi Connor.
It's lovely to be on this podcast with you all here today. So my name is Connor. I'm from the lovely Emerald Isle. I live in County Wicklow, same as Johnny, and we kind of met through the likes of Facebook there, and he added me to the WhatsApp group, and it's kind of taken off from there. Really, I've met some wonderful people last season. Being a Reading fan in all aspects in both in Ireland, England, and most recently in Stockholm in Sweden. Fantastic. Who I've met from supporting Reading. Suppose I've got Asperger's syndrome, so it's a very mild case. So it doesn't really affect me as much as other people on the spectrum would be affected by it, but I do get affected by it, obviously, and like when it happens, sometimes it can be easy to overcome. Sometimes it can be very hard for me to overcome. Just depends on the situation, I suppose.
Hold on, I was just going to come to you to start this off, because I'll start off about talking around stigma around mental illness and our lives and you know, your recent experience at Man United, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit of that with everyone, just to kind of give an idea of what you went through, which was not pleasant.
Yeah, Johnny, that was a very, very interesting experience, I have to say. There were so many emotions felt that particular day. Very overwhelming. So we were getting ready for the big game. It was Manchester United v Reading in the FA Cup. It was going to be fantastic. My friend and I, we flew over from Ireland for it. Stayed in the hotel football, fantastic hotel. And we just kind of went into Manchester and we met up with a fellow exile from the same group that Johnny and I are in. And we met up anyway, and we were getting ready then. We had like a couple of drinks. Well, I had a couple of drinks. They had a lot more than me because they're able to handle it a bit better, you know. I had only a couple because I don't really like to get drunk going into these games. I like to actually enjoy the match and embrace it. So just a couple of socializers, you know. And we went into the stadium. We were given our tickets and that, and we all went queuing up. This is where it started getting a bit overwhelming. I'd never been in a place with as many people as Old Trafford, like huge amount of people. And I got a bit overwhelmed. I lost my surroundings and I started queuing up on my own without even knowing it. I got in anyway, scanned the ticket, fine. Next thing turned around, I had a match day scarf, which I dropped. They called me back to pick it up, and then that's when I started kicking off. The stewards told me, sorry, mate, we're not letting you in. And I go, why? And they say, your pupils are massive, mate, you're on drugs. And I was like, no, I'm not on any drugs whatsoever. And they go, have you been drinking? I said, yeah, I mean, I've had a couple before I got here. Like, I wasn't really slurring my words as such. Yes, I have a bit of a stutter, but it wasn't a bit of a word. And they said, you've had two, have you? Oh, right. Mate, you've had more than two. And I was like, no, really. And they told me to go and sit down. I guess they saw I was getting a bit riled up. So I did that. I obliged. And I came back. And they basically got the supervisor. And the supervisor said, that I was abusive to the last person I spoke to. I was cursing at them and everything. I was like, no, I was not cursing at you. I was not being abusive to anybody. And long story short, this kept going on and on and on. Every time I spoke to someone, they kept saying I was a bit abusive and cursing and I was on drugs, and they weren't taking my side of the story. They weren't listening to me. They told me to sit down again, which I obliged again, because first I was getting a bit riled up having to say the same thing over and over again. And then I heard them say to each other, oh, we're not letting this fella in. So I sat down for a bit anyway, and I tried again, and they said, mate, we were going to let you in, but now you're being abusive again. So, you know, we're not letting you in. Sorry, mate. And you can imagine how, what I was feeling at this point. I was feeling a lot of anger, and I was feeling a lot of just, I was just overwhelmed. Confrontation on top of it, it all didn't really help matters. They threatened to get the police involved. I said I would love that because I would just tell them exactly what I told them. And I found the police officer myself. They were willing to help me. The supervisor came over, said, basically told the story of the drugs thing. And then the police said, mate, we'll arrest you if you don't leave the situation. So, yeah, I kind of went back to the hotel room and just, I just went to sleep. I just wasn't even bothered to watch the match at that point anymore. I was just so angry and just so upset that I went to sleep. So, yeah, it was a night to forget. I mean, I come all that way to go to big ground like Old Trafford, and it was going to be a great night. And my friends got in because they were together, whereas I'd split. And that was the kind of big thing. I'd split from them, and that's what kind of started the whole thing. So, it wasn't great.
Thanks for sharing it with us, Connor. I know you had a better experience with Reading afterwards when you went over. I know it's not the same, but it made up for it a little bit. But you know, that you know, in 2023 is an example of what's kind of wrong with the world. I know, if you don't mind me saying, kind of know, you know, part of as I am over here, the charity got now ID, haven't you, that to say that you have Asperger's that you can show when you go into grounds and take some of that stress away. But it shouldn't yes. get to that point. You know, it's just badly managed. But and that's sort of kind of where I'm leading with this now is the kind of, you know, looking at stigma and the negativity around, and if anyone else has got examples that they could share. Dean, from your playing career, Lee from fans, Bill Cars, Tom, you know, from all your different experiences, I'd love to hear from yourselves that you'd share with us that can help, like Connor's powerful message. Anyone? Any volunteers?
I just want to say this, the education of the security staff and the police alone, they are, I've had experience myself recently. I've been arrested 4 times in the last year. I'm also shoved back into a mental health institute that I shouldn't have been in. That case has been proven. I've got to be careful where I say here because it's still in lawyers' and solicitors' hands, to be honest. But I'm happy to share that I think it's an educational thing. I've spoken to, had interviews with the Met. I've got a good friend that is, and I hope he's happy for me to say this, quite high up in Scotland Yard, the education system within them. I will protect them to a certain extent because he is a good friend, and they're trying their best. They're really trying, but their hands are tied too. I don't want to really go to political one because I sit centre as much as I possibly can politically. Yeah, I don't really know how far I can go with that, but just to say they are working on it. I think from the steward's perspective, I know less so, but it is an educational thing for me. Personally, I think they really need to look at themselves. If they're in a position of power, they think they are empowered, some of them. And yeah, it's purely that, an understanding for everybody, whatever circumstances they may go through. And I think it was mentioned earlier regarding that we can't see what's wrong with people mentally. Do you know what I mean? I know that sounds damning, that statement, but we cannot see. If you've got a plaster on your leg, you'd probably be respected a lot better than you would, let's say, I don't know what diagnosis. I'm not really personally big with diagnosis. I think we're all individuals. And once you box someone in that diagnosis, that becomes a stigma in itself. I think I've got a lot to say here, but I think I better just shush on the line.
No, you're fine,
dude. Johnny, yeah, I've got a question for you, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Just hearing Connor's story and going back to what Tom said about abuse, what do you think? Do you think people that are giving out abuse, because there's still a lot of racist abuse, for example, you know, is it Do you think it might be that they've got some sort of issue themselves, or is it ignorance, or what do you think it might be? Because, you know, the impact that it has on, you know, and like Tom said, it's not just footballers, it's people in, it's not exclusive to football, it's in everyday life. Yeah. People are getting abuse, whether it's for race or sexuality or whatever. Where do you think that comes from? Why are people doing that?
There is definitely, and I've experienced that, there's definitely an element, you know, where people that have worked with, you know, mental illness-wise, their behaviours are part of an illness that aren't them. But that's the minority, I think, in the world. I think there is, unfortunately, you see it every, you know, 2023, and we're still seeing a lot of discriminatory behaviours towards people. And I think that's culture. It, you know, society, where do you start with it? I personally try to come from a positive, you know, place in this world. And we've all been, we've all been through our journeys with people. And I've spoken to a lot of folks here about our journeys at different times. And, you know, we try to see the good in people and we try to make difference however we can, small or big, and look out for each other because we've all been damaged in some way, and that culture is still allowed to continue. And that's education for me. It's about, I always say, you know, in my head, talking about your mental illness, it should be as easy as ordering a cup of coffee, or for my little one when she's 18, it's normal conversation, everyday conversation, like, oh, you've got cancer. Well, I'm so sorry to hear this. You've got bipolar, whatever. Oh, okay. That's you. And that's this conversation, as I said at the start, is that this is the model for normality in the mental health world. You know, it's just people talking. Like, there's no, oh, I can't believe that. And there's no judgment of each other. We're just people. And that's huge. Tom, you were going to chip in there. Sorry.
I think, obviously, being a match day supervisor at Reading, I think you're right in what you're saying, that it does stem down to education, because, you know, even for myself, you know, I'm not educated enough to the point that I understand all hidden disabilities. You know, I don't know what to look out for or what telltale signs to spot when someone's coming towards the main gates when we're letting them in. So I think there is a lot more that needs to be done in terms of educating stewards and staff on certain things to spot for, you know, because there is, I've done it before on the doors where someone's come to the door and I've made a mistake because I thought they were drunk and they're not. They have a disability, and I can't remember exactly what the disability was, but it made them look like they were unsteady on their feet and they were pissed. Yeah. Oh, sorry, excuse my French. They were drunk.
Sorry.
And they weren't. They had a disability that they quite happily disclosed. And afterwards, I felt awful, you know, because I've automatically, as a society and as a human being, we do automatically jump to the wrong conclusions. You know, so I think education is a big thing in terms of educating people, staff and bar staff and whoever. It doesn't matter. We need to be, as a society, need to understand what the telltale signs for the disability is.
Tom, can I just come back to you, and then Dean wants to come in. Sorry, Johnny, I don't want to hog this conversation.
No, you're fine.
But what Connor said and what Tom's just said there, I've got a really kind of extreme example of how we should never judge people because we don't know what's going on. This is a friend of my brother's who I knew quite well. He was 49 years old. He went into a hotel reception in Reading and he was feeling really unwell. And they dismissed him as being drunk. So he went in, he was staggering around, he needed help. And they thought he was just drunk. He went outside because they wouldn't help him. He collapsed and died because he'd had a brain hemorrhage or something like that. So you know, I know that's an extreme version, but I come back to what I said earlier, that I think we're too quick to assume and judge people, really. So sorry to interrupt there.
Conversation. And I think, you know, from following on from Connor there, we followed up with the Man United stewards. And the lady was very nice. And she said, well, basically, you know, if you're under the influence of alcohol, you shouldn't be allowed in the ground. And I, well, that's a big statement to make, because anyone who's had a pint is under the influence of alcohol going into a ground. And it's like, well, you're setting a very dodgy point there. How many people have a few beers and go to a game? It's like, you know, you're not going to admit you're wrong, but educate and learn and use this as an example to move on. Dean, I'll move back to you, mate.
Well, I've lost those unbelievable stories there. I've got a few examples now. I was going to jump in on the education. I didn't want to hammer home the education one so much, because we've all probably got a story of misjudgment. So from a steward's perspective, you know, we all jump in sometimes and think something that we're perhaps, you know, I'll let Lee carry on from now. I just wanted to say that there's perhaps not completely education. I think it's life skills. And often it comes with walking in someone's shoes. We've all got a story here, one way or another. And I think, unfortunately, sometimes the wiser ones have actually walked in a lot of shoes, let's say, on trauma, on mental health issues, or whatever that may be. And that gives you the tools to read. You know, going back to the drug aspects, unfortunately, I was quite a heavy drug user when I was younger. I can go in a bar now and tell 9 times out of 10 what people are on. I can tell whether it's alcohol, fueled, and both. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal by any means, because I read people quite quickly. And through doing what I do as a living now, from the mental health side of perspective as well. But there's always someone different. I think all I can say on that is we're all on different journeys. And going back to the box one, I just don't like the diagnosis, because everybody's an individual and we should be treated that way. And, you know, trauma comes from a childhood thing. It's not necessarily, the diagnosis might come, you might be that, but going back further, there's always a story that sort of takes you a certain way. Sorry, Lee, carry on.
No, I was just going to jump in and just talk about our mate Jamie, Reading supporter. He come to a walk, when was it? Come and help me out here, Johnny.
The first one. No, sorry, the second one.
From Reading to Fulham.
And he did the third, he did the other one back.
Yeah. So we're all in the bar at Reading's ground, getting ready to set off. We've had a drink. Jamie was in there. Jamie is probably the most remarkable lad I've ever met in my life. Jamie has cerebral palsy. He has trouble walking. Me and Johnny went, oh, he's with us, that's fine, that's great. But we were worried, because we're walking through the night, we're worried, like, how are we going to get him back, what's going to happen, but like, we're planning ahead. Little did we know that Jamie just went for it. Literally just walked, and it was the first time he's been out and spoke to other people since. We've had loads more walks with him, and he's got a new job now. He's looking really after himself. He was going to Reading away with his friends now, and to see this lad that was quite timid, and I'm going to hold my hands up. Both me and Johnny made that assumption, like we've been looking at, like if he does not complete it, we're going to have a backup plan to get him out and help him out. But my God, this boy is the most amazing lad. I can't think of Jamie without smiling. Like, literally, he is the most wonderful character I've ever met in my life. He's so always up for everything. He's Reading through and through. He was gutted about being relegated. I had to give him a bit of stick. But he's just such a wonderful character. You can't, like, go back to what Dean said, you can't just put everybody in a box. You know, we live in a society where, oh, you got that, you're in that box. You got this, you're in that box. You got ginger hair, you're over there. You're black, you're over there. You're Asian, over there. You know, no. Like Dean said, everybody's an individual. Totally. And what you think of someone is 9 times out of 10 not really what it's all about. You'd be surprised how wonderful people are once you get to know people, and how amazing, like people like Jamie, who just is just a Duracell battery that goes on and on and on, and don't let a disability hinder him. It just blows my mind, and I take so much pride in seeing him on Facebook putting pictures out of Reading. He's at away games with his pals. It just gives me a proper sense of enjoyment and fun, and his job. I just love it, and that's all down to Walk and Talk, Johnny, Dean, Kaz, and all the other Fulham and all that people that have all interacted with Jamie, and he loves every one of you, and it's just so amazing positive. To see. I wanted to put a positive on something. He's just unbelievable. He's already told me.
I was loving this. Yeah, I was when I met him the first time. Like we were listening to his story, and it was remarkable. Like it was.
I can't swear, but everything, every away game he goes to, there's a certain word he would text me. So I can't say it.
You can on here, mate. Believe me, that if we had a few words, don't worry.
I would fix this shithole. I said, how was Rotherham? One word, shithole. How was Sheffield? Shithole. It's constant. And I'm just like, oh, do you know what, Jamie? Don't ever change. But he's always got a smile on his face. And I think he's a personal one of my favorite people I've ever met in my life. He's just so adorable. And I take a lot out of Jamie. And just he inspires me to keep doing things and keep going on. And
I was sitting next to him at one of the Reading games in Club 1871, and he was just so passionate. He was screaming like abuse at the referee, and he was singing chants. Oh, it was brilliant watching him now. It really was.
He's come a hell of a long way. I was talking to his brother and his sister. He come a hell of a long way over the last couple of years since he's integrated with us. We walked from Reading. Like from Brighton to Arsenal, the end of last season, 78 miles. And towards the end, we got to Blackfriars, and Jamie was really struggling. So what we all done, me, Charlie, and a few other of us, just took it in turns and carried him on our back. We won't let a man down. We will take you with us. If it takes us an extra half an hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours, don't matter. We're all going together. We all start together. We all finish together. And it was just remarkable, just the camaraderie, seeing it unfold in front of you, the positivity that life can actually give and people can actually give each other is just second to none.
Well, another person that does that for me is Carl. As a big shout out to one of the people out there. Just someone that I've known for a long time who was there at the start of our first walk, believe, wasn't she?
Yeah, she doesn't age at all, does she?
No, we do. She doesn't.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
Carl's like, I mean, you know, say as much or as little as you want about your journey, but you're an inspiration to me for what we've done for these last few years. And you've been through stuff.
Yeah.
This is your platform.
Oh, I don't even know where to start. I'm with Claire at the moment, and I said I've been on medication since I was 13, almost constantly since I was 13. That's 40 years. And sometimes times are really, really hard. And I've done ridiculous things to remove myself from life. I'll term it like that. But I've been found each time, and I'm still here. And it is predominantly people who support Reading and football fans in general who have got me here. Because without you guys, I would not be here. I really would. I'm sorry, I'm welling up now. Okay, yeah.
You're a good girl, man. Keep going.
She's the boss.
I've been in hospital more times than I care to remember. And so I have actually been on the psychiatric ward for 7 months straight. And I didn't miss a single Reading game because the medics decided that going to football would be more beneficial than keeping me in the hospital on meds all night.
That's the best treatment ever, isn't it? To be honest, they should do that more often for people.
That's home and away. That was away games as well. They were absolutely phenomenal about that. It was like, no, you can go to your football. We'll make it happen. And people say the NHS is crap, but they let me do that. So,
how good is the Reading football community, though? It does so much for me. Yeah, there's a whole group there, isn't there? It's a special place for us, regardless of the football, and Tom as well. It is, isn't it? I don't know, you put it in your words.
Well, it's almost like it's the football first, and then everything else comes around that. Which, without football, we wouldn't be there in the first place. So that's the common denominator. We're all there for the same reason. Even if you're not a Reading fan, it's all football. And, I mean, teams go down, teams go up, and you might have a laugh about it. Obviously, not Reading, obviously, it's very, very serious. nothing to joke about there. But Leeds, and Luton going up, I was a bit annoyed about that. And then I thought, well, actually, Premier League need Luton. They need that ground, because that is football.
It's the biggest PR education.
It's not Old Trafford, it's not the Emirates. It's Kenilworth Road.
Off the pitch for me, just supporting Reading has just it's been remarkable over the years. I've got a huge connection there. That's the reason why I'm Irish supporting Reading. Huge connection there, and it just brings back kind of good memories as to when I used to live over there, and obviously then like meeting these wonderful people like Johnny and Jamie, who I mentioned as well, and a few others. As I said, I've literally never been to Sweden before. I met someone over there, part of the same group, and I got to witness Eurovision and a Hammerby match where they won. It was remarkable. But just kind of being a Reading fan has been great. In Ireland, supporting Reading now, when people say, "Oh, who do you support?" they say Liverpool United, and they ask me, I go Reading, and they go, "Really? Why are you supporting Reading for?" And I'm always happy to tell the story,
It's a great conversation starter, to be fair, and that's what football is. It is a conversation starter. That's why we do the walks, in the sense that, bearing in mind, me and Johnny had never met. We do the walk. Me and Dean never met. Me and Kaz never met. But we, like what we said, Kaz, it's like we all have the football is our lives. Football is everything to us. To start the conversation there is phenomenal, and it just shuts down loads of barriers. If you spoke to a man about anything other than football, you get a yes, no, maybe so answer. But now you just go into depth. I've seen it a billion times. I still see it today, and it's just remarkable how football brings everybody together.
Dean, over to you, mate. I know you want to come in there.
No, I just wanted to say, listen, I'm humble in this situation. It's beautiful to hear. And I've been very fortunate in my life to be both sides of the fence, if that makes sense. It's not a hierarchy one. I think the lads will back me that I'm as humble as they come with what I've done and achieved in football. But yeah, from the fans' perspective, I don't think, going back to Jamie, what an inspiration. I was lucky enough to... And the last one, I was a backup for Johnny and a few others. I had my old Volkswagen camper, classic camper, and I was backing them up. I gave him a massage, gave him some new trainers towards the end. He felt like he was floating. He's an absolute inspiration. And I think more players need to hear the fans' perspective, not only on the mental health aspect, just, your life's as inspirational as the players, to be honest with you. And I don't think it gets respected enough.
I'm going to ask you a question on that, Dean.
Far away.
Do you think that, obviously, the Premier League, it's a different kind of thing. It's a different level, should we say. Do you think the player... Yeah, exactly. Do you think the player and the fan don't have a relationship, as in... And you would do it like... Your local league clubs is Peterborough, Fleetwood. Proper local league clubs like Luton and so forth. Do you feel like bigger clubs could do a hell of a lot more? Or is it too far detached that it can't be brought back?
Well, yes, it's a difficult question to answer, but I think both, to be honest with you. I think the financial aspect of the bigger clubs now, that certainly divided that. You know, it's all about the money, unfortunately. I was lucky enough to, as you know, sort of rise through from Sunday League to non-league to professional football, the second tier, and drop back down. I'd loved the non-league. I know you got involved, Lee, from a non-league perspective, and Marlo was mentioned earlier. I'm as proud as playing for Marlowe as I am Peter Swindon, whoever I played for. To be paid to play football was an absolute privilege, and I think sometimes now the higher, I don't want to damn every Premier League player or elite player, let's say, I think a few of them need to get their feet on the ground, if I'm honest with you. Sorry, so I don't know what happened there.
I wholeheartedly agree there. I really do. I think football is just so far-fetched. I think it needs to be, I think the supporters trust, I spoke to untold supporters trust, and the Star were good, to be fair. I really do rate the Star, but a lot of them have no interest other than just the basic stuff. It's no like fighting against the club and trying to get things done and prove things. It's just, I'm not going to say anything about the Fulham one, but it's just not for me, if I'm honest. I think they're a bit of a bygone era at the moment.
I think we could take that to a further level in society in general. I'm not going to get on the political platform. Lee and I have had many discussions off camera and all of that sort of stuff. I know where I stand with it, but the elitist is taking over. It's quite sad to see whether that's...
The sport really is it really is good. I'm a League of Ireland supporter as well. My local club is Bray Wanderers. It's like a lovely ground. It's in a great setting. It's like it's right next to transport, so it's very easy to get to. And we're in like the first division, which is the second division basically. We're currently in the playoffs, but just the kind of the atmosphere, well, not really at the Carlisle grounds, unfortunately, with the way Bray Wanderers has gone, but it's coming back though. But the whole League of Ireland itself is just, it's just incredible. You get many like good, like away days. I've been to a couple for Bray Wanderers. It was like the playoff final, I think, in the first season where against UCD. It was a great atmosphere at Daly Mount Park. And then I was at Tolka Park as well for Dublin Derby, and it's just incredible.
Tom, I'm going to bring you in there. Sorry, Connor, just because I know conscious of the time and everything else.
I was just going to literally add, like, my first game was when I was 6 years of age. So I didn't actually support Reading or liked football until my dad took me to Elm Park. And you know what? One of the first persons that I met when I was a kid, and I can still remember this to this day, and that was Kaz. And we were on a away trip, and it was my first away game. And I kid you not, ever since, like, she's just inspired me because of her never say, what's the word? Never say die attitude or something. You know, and I've always, like, I used to go home at the weekend after being on a away trip, and we used to be always on the same coach. And I used to say to my dad, I really love that lady. She was amazing. She made me feel so good about myself, you know? And that's Kaz. Mm-hmm. So the community runs all the way to when I was six.
Mark, can I bring you in now, mate? Sorry, you've been waiting patiently.
Yeah, just go back to what Tom said there and what Kaz and Lee said earlier. I think this is actually sort of part of what we're talking about. And it's been mentioned a few times that being a football fan, you're actually part of a community. It's like a group of friends, isn't it? There's a sense of belonging to something, which I think is important for mental health, you know, win or lose. We discussed on the podcast recently, Johnny, our favourite games. One of my kind of favourite memories of supporting Reading was a defeat. We went up to Crewe, stood behind the goal, We lost 1-0. Craig Hignett scored the goal. But, yeah, it's just such a great day. We went up in the car, you know. It was just a good experience. So, win or lose, you know, you're still going to support the club. We've got relegated. I'm actually, as a Reading fan, I'm now looking forward to winning more than we lose. Hopefully, we don't know.
Don't get carried away.
I watched all the playoff games. I mean, look at okay, Barnsley didn't go up, but they went down. They nearly went up. Look at Carlisle. I'm really pleased for Carlisle because it's a small club, you know, and they've had their day.
It's bloody miles away, though, isn't it?
Yeah, we had the Simod Cup final. Okay, it was only the Simod Cup, but what a day that was! It was like the greatest day for many Reading fans, and I think football does that. Football's really powerful, and I agree what, you know, Dean was saying about, I think Lee, you were talking about the disconnect, but I think football, and the reason why football is so powerful and there's so much interest in it, is because it's like a tribal thing. It's like being part of a community. And there's a lady that I know, not well, but somebody called Tara Hancock. So her story is that she'd made up her mind. She was going to commit suicide. That she was going to do it. Someone took her to a football match and she was a bit reluctant, but she decided to go. And then all of a sudden she felt like she got a buzz out of it and she felt like she was part of something. And from that point, she then decided she wanted to help other people and she set up a charity called Sport Against Suicide. And I think we've talked about this already and I really wanted to say this. And as I say, I think my own personal experience is probably very common. And what's helped me, and I'm not an expert in this, but what's helped me is talking to people. And I say that for a few reasons. So I've had counselling, that's helped. I've been on medication, that's helped. But for me, the most powerful thing and the biggest impact that's helped me is talking to friends and family about how I feel. And it's like, I'd compare it to like when your rubbish bin gets full, you empty your rubbish bin. So it's the same. You can offload your troubles by talking about them. And I spoke to Brian McDermott recently because obviously he's been through addiction. He's recovered from addiction and now he kind of helps other people. I saw a talk that he did recently with Russell Brand, which was brilliant. And one thing he said to me that really helped me was he said, don't worry about the past because you can't change it. Don't worry about the future because it hasn't happened yet. Just actually, instead of worrying about the past or the future, just focus on making the most of the present, appreciating what you do have. Of course, people get stressed and anxious about money and all sorts of things and what you don't have. There's always people that are worse off than you. And I would say, and it's something that I've said to my daughters, do what makes you happy. You know, just don't worry too much about what other people think. Be yourself, be your authentic, genuine self. And also, if you are feeling anxious or you're feeling low or depressed, talk to your friends. And actually, you'll find you might be a bit worried about what your friends will think of you. So there's that kind of stigma in play. But actually, by you talking to them, they'll take that as a massive compliment. And that's what I found. And one of my issues, I've got this kind of anxiety connected with money. So one of my issues was the consequences of me running out of money, which is kind of irrational, but it was something that has made me feel really anxious. And I was feeling anxious about something that hasn't happened. And a good friend of mine, and this stuck with me. I told a really good friend of mine how I was feeling, you know, my anxiety and, you know, feeling really down about money and stuff like that. And he said, don't worry, everything will be okay. And I thought about it and I thought, do you know what? Generally speaking, everything is okay. And like Brian does, he does a gratitude list every day, what he's grateful for. You know, he lives in the moment now. So that's helped me. It's not like totally fixed everything. I'm still going to get anxiety, but certainly in terms of what's helped me, so if it helps other people, then great. talk to people about how you're feeling, because you'll get a much more positive reaction than you might be worrying about, if that makes sense.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate that, mate. It's so true. I was actually just sitting here looking at all these connections that I've got have been so unplanned. But Lee, never met. We decided to walk together. Dean, I met on the walk. Cars, we met. Geez, at a game. Mark,
we started following each other after the Huddersfield playoff final.
Yeah, thanks for that cheerful note.
That's all right. You thought that day had gone badly anyway.
Yeah. So true. And then Connor, you know, I met through the Optimals group over here because I get a bit isolated over here at home and, you know, struggle at times. But the connections, and Tom, I got spoken to about the Proud Royals. The connections that you make through football as friends, as people, sometimes it's just, I think, you know, it's meant to be. You're in the right place at the right time to have these things. And I'm so blessed and lucky to have these connections, plus a whole lot of others. And I never quite, I don't know how they happen. I don't know why, but they're meant to be. And that's the beauty of life. And then you have those conversations. You know, it means the world. Dean, over to you. Sorry.
No, just touching on that. Many different beliefs on that, but alignment is a huge thing. Do you know what I mean? I'm a big one with, I don't want to get faith here or get too deep on it, but
we've had a good chat about this, haven't we, Dean?
Many of times, and Johnny and I too, you know, we were all on a journey with that aspect, you know, trying to fathom out the reasons for and why those connections happen. And again, I'm not one to sit here as judge and jury or preach about what I believe in. I think it's just, and Johnny and I and Lee and I spoke about it, sort of free thinking. Do you know what I mean? Let people believe what they want to believe. But Johnny, you touched on it. You know, that, for me, that coming together of people is huge, that connection. And it does happen for a reason. I've got my belief and I hold that dearly to me. But meeting you two, certainly, and meeting you all now, this is happening for a reason and I'm nothing but grateful for it. Live in the moment. Someone said it earlier. You know, be grateful that you get up. We've all suffered along the way. Be grateful that tomorrow, get up, be happy, and just follow that. It's a beautiful thing.
We're still here fighting, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Can I just say something about the disconnect between clubs and fans? Because it can't just be me. We have got some really, really good players at Reading who do actually take time out that if they haven't seen me for a while, outside the ground, they actually, when they do see me, they check me out, make sure I'm okay. That, you know, I've been healthy. I've just like been doing other things than hanging around outside the ground. So that does go under the radar. So I just want to put that out there.
Yes,
exception is there.
They really are wonderful. As a follow up to the traumatic experience that I had. We got, Johnny and I got in touch with Reading FC, and I will never forget Reading FC for what they did. It's remarkable. I got invited out to Bearwood Park, and I had a good like walk around. I got to meet all of the staff. I remember they had to separate Brian Carey from myself because he would not stop talking to me. He was so invested in me, you know, like two Irishmen chatting to each other, you know what I mean, chatting about all kinds of things, League of Ireland, Reading, everything. And then I got to meet Paul Ince.
Sorry about that.
I got to meet Noel Hunt. He was incredible. I got to meet all of, like most of the players, like Tom McIntyre and Mete and all. And but I suppose as an Irish person, like I'm from County Tipperary and all that stuff, to be able to meet and chat with Shane Long was just, it was just incredible. Not many people can say that they've spoken to Shane Long, one of Ireland's like greatest players. And sadly, I didn't get a picture with him, but I got to chat with him. That's something. But, and Noel Hunt as well. invited me into an analysis meeting, and it was great to see how he did things with the team, and he was pointing out the good things and then giving criticism on the bad. It was just incredible. The whole day, never forget it.
Mark, over to you. We've got a few minutes left.
Yeah, it's just something, you know, sometimes these things pop up on social media and all that sort of thing, and you read them, and sometimes they stick with you. Sometimes they can be a bit cringy, but some of them kind of really resonate and really stick with me. And there's one, you know, something along the lines of, today is not your final destination. The best is yet to come. So you've got, because you don't know what's in the future, you probably if you go a year ahead from now and look back, there's probably loads of good stuff that you don't know yet that you've got to look forward to. And one of the things that I saw on social media recently that was really interesting, there was a guy talking to people who were suffering from, you know, anxiety, low mood, depression, that sort of thing, and he said to them, look, if I gave you £1 million now, would that make you happy? And they said, well, yes. And he said, okay, well, if I gave you £10 million now, but this is your last day on earth, would you take the £10 million? And they said no. And he said, so what that means is you value more getting up tomorrow morning than £10 million. And I don't know why. It's, you could look at it and say, well, it's a bit of a kind of fringe-worthy statement, but I think that kind of puts things into perspective a bit. And I know it's a bit profound, but I think the fact that we do get to, you know, and some people will wake up in the morning and they've got the weight of the world on their shoulders, but talking about what we've been talking about, there are people out there that care. And if you, you know, if you reach out to them, and it's like going back to what Tom says, yes, maybe you sometimes feel alone, but people care, and you can reach out to them, and you know, you've got a lot to look forward to. So again, my own bit of personal advice is, if you're feeling low, if you're feeling down, there's loads of stuff you can do. So you can contact your GP, but just talk to friends and family, because people care and people want to help you. So that would be my one little bit of advice from my own experience for me to finish on.
Thanks, Mark. I just want to go around everyone one last time before I just sign this off, because I know we could have this conversation for another 2 hours. It's brilliant. But Lee, I just want to go back to you, mate, because we haven't seen each other for however long.
It's been
walk
too
and
long.
Talk. We're now in Bray, Wanderers. You're on the shirt. And we're taking over Ireland, England, the world. What's next for you, mate? What's going on with you?
I've got to sit down. it's the wrong colour. It's not black and white, Dean. It's not black and white.
No, I meant for the lads around her.
Yes. I've got to sit down. I've got to wait for the fixtures to come out. I've already earshotted a few. I've already spoke to about six clubs. And, yeah, work has been going on for ages and ages and ages. And it's just, I'm tired. I've been working today, worked yesterday, worked Saturday. I don't even know. I've been so busy, but there's a lot planned, and we're going to come over to Ireland, and we're going to stretch our legs in Ireland. So I'm looking forward to have a drink with you and make memories and have a chat and just have a good time. And you know, like we say, football.
Reading to Cambridge.
Don't even start me. Jamie has told me every league club he wants to walk to. He's got Fleetwood, and I'm waiting for a text now saying, Carlisle, we're up for it.
He never stops. I love it.
Yeah, if you know Jamie, you know that he would do it. He's just
he's insane.
He's got the mentality. I like it.
Over to you, mate. Like, I want to catch up with you about football flows. I was not going to let folks say no.
Hopefully. Yeah, so, my own personal journey has been a bit difficult, as you well know, Johnny. I won't go through the ins and outs of that for last year. So I've just had a few personal issues. So we shut down for nearly a year. I've got many good people coming on board, both professional and outside of that. And Johnny and I actually spoke not that long ago. I really want to do something from the fans' perspective. And Johnny, hopefully, if we have a serious discussion, we can get something going from that perspective, because I think the fans are as important as players. On my website, you'll see that we initially set out to look after everybody within football, possibly, with the right backing now financially, because it's cost me personally a lot of money to set this up. But I feel I've got the right team to move forward to make a difference. So, as we always say, it's, you know, we save one soul, you know, it's worth doing whatever, because that's someone's life.
It's always the way, isn't it? Makes a difference for one person, for all of us. Tom, where are you there, Tom? Still proud Royals. Where's your plan for the year?
So we've obviously, it's been a bit quiet for the last couple of months because I've had a lot of personal issues with my private life and work's been a bit hectic. But
going forward, we had Lily was on with us the other week. Lily Woodham, that was brilliant.
We've got a lot in the pipeline. We've got a few meetings that we need to set up with the club because we're still trying to get the club to kind of be a bit more open to a lot of the ideas. Just kind of watch this space. There's going to be a lot more things. We're always going to kind of be around for anyone that needs to talk. You know, they can always just drop us a DM in our Twitter if they need to talk or they need someone to kind of reach out to, because, you know, we're human. We all need someone to reach out to. Absolutely. And I always say, sometimes I say to people, sometimes you need a stranger that's not in your direct circle to be able to give you advice and listen, because, you know, I know personally with me, in the last couple of months, I've contemplated suicide and I've had a lot of issues going on. And I reached out to someone that I actually don't really know that well, and they've pulled me through a lot of things. So, and of course, my friends that obviously hold me close to their heart, you know, they've helped out tremendously. So
glad to hear it, mate.
Talk. That's all the message is, all I say is talk.
Yeah, so true, isn't it? Cars, friend. Now, we had this discussion, haven't we? We've got to get this mental health support group going in Reading.
Yes,
I've asked the club if they're listening. We've emailed you, you're still not listening. Because it's so important, isn't it, over the summer. I think more so because you haven't got the games. People get isolated even more, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
If we can try and use this as a platform maybe to...
Yeah, absolutely. It needs to get started. I think the fans have done a bit of a lower because of the relegation anyway. So we're probably needed now more than ever. We haven't even started yet.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
Now, just a quick word to Lee, if I may. Lee,
make it polite.
Yes.
Jamie's idea of walking to Carlisle. Just be grateful he doesn't live in Exeter. That's all I'll say.
He'd still be up for it. He would still do it. He's a mission. He's an absolute machine. The boy is unbelievable.
He'd do it. Difficulties and he makes life so much better, doesn't he?
Positivity. Breed positivity. Go out tomorrow and be positive. Put a smile on one person's face and it's a domino effect and it carries on. And do you know what? The simplest things make people the happiest. That's literally it. And that might be a talk at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, there's a great song at the moment, Louis Dunford. Dee might know of Louis Dunford, North London Forever. We went out to Manchester to see him recently. Wow. There's a song, Boys Don't Cry. It's phenomenal. If you get a chance to listen to it, well worth it. It's really heart-wrenching and there's a lot of facts in it. But thanks for having me on. Thanks, Johnny.
I've got something here for you, mate. You'll like this one. Connor, come into us, mate. Tell the gang what I've lulled you into.
Yes, Johnny and I are doing a charity walk on Saturday, the 10th of June. It is a 60-kilometer walk, 62 to be exact, from Howth in County Dublin to Wicklow Town. We're starting up in Howth, obviously. We're getting the train up. We're going to meet there. And it's basically like, it's pretty much almost a coastal walk, It's very close to it, up into Dublin City, down along the N11 and all, and then we're hoping to end it along the coast into Wicklow. That'll be a fantastic way to end it. I think we're stopping in a pub in the halfway mark just for a bit of grub, just to get ourselves fuel to keep going for the rest of the walk and that. So there's four of us doing it from Holt to Shankill, and then from there it's just myself and Johnny unless anyone else wants to join in for that part of the walk. But it's remarkable. My the company I work for, they're going to get behind it as well, and it's going to be remarkable.
It's for As I Am, isn't it, Connor?
Yes, we're doing it for the autism charity As I Am. They are a fantastic charity. They do a lot in that, and
yeah. Good luck, guys. Good luck.
It will be worth it. Yeah, it'll be my very first walk of doing that.
I've probably last after.
Yeah, probably last. Take ear defenders as well. All right, plugs.
Yeah. I have done cycles of that length, but and I've never walked that length, so it's going to be.
You never walked it with me either. Lee, what he said? Look, you know, he said, where are we stopping for coffees and stuff? I was like, oh, yeah, no, it's not going to happen, mate. Really.
Don't walk through the night. Go.
Sorry, Dean, very quickly back to you, mate, and then
I've hugged a little bit, but I just want to big up Johnny. Absolute legend of a man who's done so much for Reading particularly, but outside of that, people don't really, he's the most humble person. Behind the scenes, he's done so much, believe me, I know what he's done. People talk about DMs and people, we've had many conversations over the last, I don't know, how long has it been, Johnny? 4 years or so that we've known each other?
Yeah.
That was probably about that. But, yeah, enough respect for you, what you were trying to achieve. And you're always so humble with it. I think what I will say is that often, especially online, unfortunately, and I go negative, positive with the way I speak, but it's just the way I am. There's a lot of people online that, and Johnny and I have discussed this offline, that are egotistical, let's say, with what they're doing. But Johnny Adley himself are so humble with their movements. And I just hope that some of the big boys get behind them. There's many charities out there that perhaps have gone a little bit business formats for my liking. But I know you two boys, you keep going, and I know something's going to happen. And hopefully the right people with a little bit of finance might get behind you and the movement just goes forward. So thank you very much, everybody, for having me on. I know I didn't know many of you. I know Lee and Johnny well, but it's been an absolute pleasure. And
Dean, let's be honest, there's no one else that ever could do the Spice Girls at a roundabout and Bracknell on New Year's Eve.
We've still got the photographs.
We've still got the evidence.
And one last thing on Lee.
I was carrying a bottle of champagne all the way from Reading to Bracknell as a surprise. It was weighing me down. I was like, I can't believe this.
I'll just say one thing on Lee as well, the determination to go out on your own. And I've done that. Yeah. I'll walk on my own now to set off what you set off, my friend. And don't be holding on to too much, because I think now the explosion is right for your idea, your movement to amalgamate two clubs together as well. I know you're all Reading fans predominantly here, apart from Lee and I. But to have two clubs come together was your inspiration why I'd done Cambridge and Peterborough, which is a bitter rivalry, by the way.
Yeah.
And I've done it for an inspirational fan who's got disability himself. You'll hear the story later on. We haven't released it yet, but that's for you, Lee. That is your movement. But I've just taken it on board. Don't, you know, people need to take the reins and we need to spread this across. So
100%,
enough respect for you.
Mark, I'll bring you in now, mate, just to finish off.
And just sort of touching on something that Dean was saying about people doing it for genuine reasons, I'd just sort of like to go on record and publicly say a massive thank you to Brian McDermott, because he really helped me. Didn't have to. I didn't know Brian until very recently. He knew my dad a little bit through Reading, but he agreed to meet me and have a chat, and it really, really helped me. And then a Reading fan called Dale Bradley, who's an addict. He's alcohol and drug addict. He reached out to me and And I put him in touch with Brian, and Brian spoke to him, and Dale said, I really, really appreciated you doing that. So a huge thank you to Brian. And I just want to say, you know, thanks to everyone for being part of this and sharing your stories. And the one thing I hope that we get out of this is that even if one person listens and it helps them in a small way, then, you know, that really makes it all worthwhile. And I just want a message for someone on this call. So, Tom, I just want to say to you, you know, keep talking. We're all on your side. I think you know that, but just keep talking. Thank you for sharing your story. And, you know, there's other people that are going through sort of similar situations. So I'll say this personally to you, Tom, keep talking. And like I say, we're on your side.
Yeah, you're not alone. You're not alone.
And with that, just to finish up, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you all. And it, hopefully, like you say, it will help someone. One person get the support they need, then it's all so worth it for us coming together. But there is, obviously I'm over here in Ireland. We have a few contact numbers. There's Peter House here, 1-800-247-247 if somebody's struggling. And there's the crisis text line as well, 50808. And in England, you guys feel free to chip in. There's the Samaritans, 116-123. And then there's the tech shout crisis text line, 85258. And for the under-19s, it's child line. But if there's any others, please add. If there's anything that people need to, you know, put it out there. We're all listening.
There is one that I haven't got written down, but I will tweet out.
Yeah, please do. Breathing space. This is going out pretty shortly, so anything you want to add to it afterwards, any comments, any messages, anything, you know, we're all here, social media, whatever. I just want to say thank you so much to all of you to hear your stories again. It means the world to me personally to speak to, because I haven't been speaking to you for so long, and to be with Mark on this. Thank you. Look after yourselves.
Johnny, can I just mention one final thing?
Yeah, of course you can.
Obviously, there are a lot of charities out there. Just look for them online. You'll be able to find them. But one thing that you can do, which I've done that's helped me, is I contacted my GP. Actually, the NHS does sometimes come in for criticism, but they are taking this really seriously. So you will get support. They'll put you in touch with a counsellor. Cool. So I've done something called talking therapy. They prescribe some medication as well. So, you know, look out for the different charities, the different support groups, and contact your GP. Don't feel like, you know, you can't do that. You can. They will. They're on your side. So they'll take it seriously. They'll listen to you, and they'll get you the treatment you need. So just want to say that as well.
Thank you, guys.
Having, like, you know, Asperger's, it has its good moments and its bad. The worst being that traumatic experience I had, but it also brings great moments, in work. It just brings so much enthusiasm to the job and eagerness to learn and that. And it just meeting great people and just something like that as well are part of the great moments. It kind of strives me. I suppose the bad moments are stuff to learn on as well, so it's a handy out, you know.
Keep going forwards, mate.
That's it. Keep going forwards. Three important
words. Step at a time, mate.
Absolutely, wouldn't it? Take care of yourselves, folks, and thanks again. See you soon. Have a good weekend.
See ya.
Bye bye.
Good weekend. Good weekend. It's my weekend. Take care.
Good luck.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate that.
It was a pleasure. Well,
Sports Social Podcast Network.